Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Thanks for joining us on Blog Talk Radio and on Omega Radio and on YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening from. Shalom and God bless you. That's what the good news is today. I want to share a few articles with you before we get into the meat of our message. But first, I want to read out of the book of Ephesians chapter 5. That's Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to begin in verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we go back today, and I believe this is very important information, again in verse 15, Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, and that word circumspectly is the akribos, and it means exactly, perfectly, and diligently. Can you imagine that? That God is calling you to an exact walk with Him. In other words, because the days are evil, don't be walking loosely or whimsically or just kind of floating around. Merrily, merrily, my boat is floating down the stream. Don't live that way. No, live on purpose. Live with the exactness, with the perfection that the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered of the Lord. So it is important in the time that we are living in to walk wisely. Don't just go. Pray about everything. Okay. Again, why? Well, because we're told that we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools. How does a fool walk? This is that Greek word, the aphos or the asophos. And it means basically unwise. So the opposite of being wise or circumspect or exacting. Now, isn't that pretty amazing when you step back and think about it for just a moment, that today you have one day, I have one day to live on this earth. We do not boast about tomorrow because we don't know what a day is going to bring. We have too much evidence that none of us should just be boasting, well, I'll be here tomorrow. None of us. But we do have today. So we should live today circumspectly. Why should we not be walking as fools? Because we are to be redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that word there, redeeming, is a Greek word. It's the exagorazo, the exagorazo, however you want to put that in the Greek. And it means to buy up or to ransom, to rescue from loss. And what is it that you and I are rescuing from loss? Time. Time. We are to be redeeming the time, ransoming the time, rescuing time from loss. Don't just, and you know what happens when you're not prayerful and you're not exacting your steps, if you're not being watchful about what you're doing, well, you could be losing time. And precious time is ticking by. Every single one of us has an expiration date on this planet, on this side of eternity, and life is a vapor. And so the apostle is writing to the ecclesia, he's writing to the church, and he's telling us that we should be definitely exacting our time, using it for the best that we possibly can. Utilize your time and enjoy your time. Enjoy your moment upon this earth, but redeem it. Don't waste it on foolish things. Don't just go about wasting time. It's like wasting money. Don't just go out and spend every time you have a whim to spend. You know, salvage it, direct it, exact it, use it on purpose, use it for useful things like supporting this radio program. That's one of the good things you could be doing. You know, supporting the Omega Radio Network or New Wine Ministries or the labor that we are putting our hand to here. That's a good way to invest your money. Invest in widows and orphans. Take care of business. Use it wisely. Now, getting back to the scripture, we're told again, redeem the time because the days are evil. And if they were evil 2,000 years ago, they're evil today. I mean, these are evil days that you have people being shot and killed at a kosher deli or a little market in Jersey City, New Jersey, or, you know, in shipyards, wherever. Redeem the time. The days are evil. You don't know what today will bring. We don't have any boast about tomorrow. We've been given today. So if we're exacting our time, Lord, lead us today. Then, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to read to you with those thoughts in mind. You know, you're redeeming your time right now. I'm redeeming my time right now by spending this time together. And I am so thankful that we're spending it together, because there are so many different places and ways to be spending time. Now, in about, 52 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier will be sharing out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, and on YouTube. And she's going to be sharing some very important insights, probably dropping pearls of great price along the way, because our ministry is designed to equip the saints of God with knowledge, wisdom, and revelation, and deliverance. It is imperative that our souls are cleansed, that our souls are in good standing with God by the time we meet him face to face. How many of you believe that's important? Yes, we believe in our salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, through the finished work of Christ on the cross. To that, there's no doubt. But there's a working out of our salvation that is very important to us in this life and in the world to come. So I want to read to you a scenario. Take a few minutes, but we have a few minutes to spare here. In this, I think it's important enough to do it. So let me just read this to you this morning. This is a disaster scenario. It's evening. The meteorologists have been predicting severe thunderstorms all day over a huge swath of the country. In other states where they're much more common, tornadoes have been reported. In your neighborhood, things are quiet, at least for now. Your children are in the family room watching TV when the community warning siren sounds. Your husband is not yet home from work, but you've rehearsed this drill with the kids before. You gather them up and you head for the basement. The dog is in the house somewhere. Your son calls for him, but there's no response. You know, because you prepared, and in preparing, you learned that time is of the essence in these drills, so you don't wait. You close the door behind you as you head down the stairs. Your designated shelter is the spare bedroom in the southwest corner of the basement. It has a bed and a couple of other pieces of furniture in it, plus some out-of-season clothes and spare blankets in the closet. Though you've been meaning to stock it with additional essentials, you haven't yet found the time. Still, there's a case of drinking water and a couple boxes of snack bars on the dresser, plus a flashlight on the nightstand. You don't know what became of the dual-powered clock radio that also used to sit there. You hand the flashlight to your daughter to hold. She clicks it on, then off. The battery is still good. You remember, then, that in your haste, you left your cell phone on the kitchen counter. Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. It sounds at first like a locomotive off in the distance. You once heard someone who'd been through one of these tornadoes use those very words in describing it. And that's exactly how it sounds. Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. And it gets louder and closer. The pace of it quickens. Instinctively, you move the children to the floor between the wall and the bed, and you pull the comforter over the top of the three of you. The noise is now loud and deep that it feels like it's physically hammering your chest. Your ears pop. You feel the foundation wall behind you shiver as the only window in the room, 5 feet above your head, shatters outward, and the air in the room is sucked out. Further above you, the house shrieks as it is torn apart, lifted and crushed back downward violently. You close your eyes, you squeeze your children to you, and you pray. Though it feels like it will last forever, you're surprised at how quickly it's over and completely quiet. The only sound you could hear now, besides the ringing in your ears, is the intermittent slapping of fat raindrops hitting the living room floor directly above you. You can also hear your son's soft whimpers as he clings to you. Your daughter clutches you as well, but she is otherwise motionless and quiet. You lift yourself from beneath the comforter and discover that the room is now completely impenetrably dark. By feel, you retrieve the flashlight, still lying on the bed where your daughter left it, and with it, you survey the room. The ceiling and the walls look to remain solidly intact, though the door has been pushed in at the top on the hinge side. You test it, and it will not budge. You also test the wall switch next to it, but it only tells you what you already know. There's no electricity. The window and its frame are completely gone, the resultant naked opening just to the outside of it entirely blocked by debris. It's the only other avenue of exit for you. Eerily, nothing else in the room has been damaged or disturbed in the slightest. None of you has physically suffered even a scratch. You sniff the air and you detect no smell of gas or smoke. The beam of the flashlight begins to weaken, so you turn it off to save what power is left. And the three of you huddle together on the bed in total darkness. You resist the urge to call out for help. Save your energy, you recall being told. Stay calm, don't panic. Go into survival mode. Best to just listen for now, you decide. You understand that you are trapped in your shelter. The rainwater that you can hear dripping steadily in the interior corner tells you that the rest of your home beyond this room has undoubtedly been destroyed. You have no means of communicating with the outside world. It's night, and beyond your walls, it's probably chaotic right now. Help from the outside world may well be many hours away. But you have a job to do. Of course, you worry about your husband's fate. You worry that he's worrying about yours as well. You anguish over the dread that you feel in your children's grips, the trauma you hear in their whispers. You ponder the days and the weeks and the months of hardship that lie ahead of you in rebuilding your lives. You wish that you had been better prepared. All of these thoughts weigh on you, but you also know, because you did prepare and you learned it, that right now, sitting in the dark, you have a job to do. Make it to the next light. Make it until rescue finally arrives and the door is pushed free and light once again pours into the room. It may be tomorrow, it may be the day after that, but for now, your plan is to simply make it that far. The rest of it will come later. In these circumstances, you can feel rightly confident that help will arrive sooner than later. You understand what you're going to need in order to hold out for that long. Shelter, water, and food in a safe and secure environment. You have assessed each of these, and you have concluded that despite any deficiencies in your preparation, and with only a little creative adaption, you can find it all right there with you in the room. Once you get beyond this crisis, there will surely be others for you and your family to prepare for and to survive. Other moments of darkness with new and different challenges to overcome. Each of them will have a next light as well. What they will be doesn't matter to you right now, though. You have to make it to this one first. So do your job, make it to next light. In other words, survive. Well, it could be a tornado that wipes out your neighborhood, or it could be some other natural event of broader and more enduring impact, like a major flood or an earthquake. The disaster that impacts you could also be of the man-made variety, such as an act of terrorism or a global economic meltdown. It might arrive suddenly, altering your way of life overnight, or it might come to you gradually over time, changing your world in fits and starts, but always with a downward trajectory. Just as likely, though, it will be a combination of more than one of these events converging at once. Each one on a less than catastrophic scale, but with the sum total result being far greater than the individual parts. A memorable example was take a hurricane. Add poorly constructed public levees, an already economically depressed area, and a failed government response, and it equals New Orleans in 2005. More than 1 million people were permanently displaced by Hurricane Katrina, the largest population removal in U.S. history since the 1930s Dust Bowl. And what was interesting about that is it came within days of the Israeli people being told to leave the Gaza Strip, and they were refugees. We saw that on the news the very same week we saw refugees in the United States of America. There seems to be a pattern of touch Israel, the apple of my eye, and you're going to suffer the consequences. It just seems to be a pattern. So without going into any further detail, I just wanted to share with you a scenario of what it's like to go through a crisis. And ladies and gentlemen, crises come. And when crises come, if we are prepared, we will be better off with whatever preparations we have made. To have the best preparations is the best thing. To have lightly prepared, well, praise God, at least you prepared a bit lightly. But the idea is that we are living in a world, and I want to share just a little bit with you about the world that we're living in right now, where these crises and scenarios are multiplying and in their complexity. They're multiplying, but where do they have their origin from? I believe the word of God is very clear that Jesus said in the last days there would be earthquakes and pestilences and famines. In other words, he was saying there'd be troubles and commotions. There would be crises all over the world. He talked in a very general way, the crises of war, the rumors of war. He talked about many things. In the scriptures, going from Genesis to Revelation, you find economic imbalances. You find different revolutionary wars. You find pestilence, disease. You do find famine. You find at different places around the world, different crises striking. And now you add the earthquake and the tornado, and you just saw six people were killed. They were hiking in a volcano the other day. The thing erupted and people died in the volcano. That's crazy. But then you saw the life toll taken at a terrorist act in Jersey City, New Jersey, or on 9/11, 2001. So crises are hitting all over the world. The winds and the waves are roaring. Men's hearts are failing for fear of what they see coming upon the earth. And it doesn't seem to be subsiding. It seems to be growing and mounting in its magnitude and its impact. And you and I cannot afford to just walk through whistling and singing merrily, merrily, we're floating down a stream. We just can't do that. We're not told to live in fear or anxiety. We're told to prepare and to walk circumspectly, to walk exacting on purpose. In other words, pray about everything. Should I go to that mall today? Should I go to the Twin Towers today? Should I go over here today? Should I go on that hike today? Should I do this? Lord, I want to be in contact and communion so I could be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe the Holy Spirit leads people into crises, unless, of course, it's like the Spirit leading Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days to prepare him for his ministry. I do get that. And there are times when we're led into crises so that we could be an answer in the midst of a crisis, an opportunity to bring salvation or to advance the kingdom of God. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, biblical prophecy, the Word of God tells us there's not going to be an end to crises. Crises are going to come. And for now, those crises seem to be around us, but they haven't touched us. But anybody that's ever been through a crisis on any scale knows, I mean, this could happen to anybody at any time. So let's walk exacting. Let's understand a crisis. Here's a crisis growing right now in our country, and there's a lot to this. But in New York City, there's a Muslim community patrol. I want you to listen carefully. Sharia law coming to a community near you. Are you ready for this? All right, this is what it means to be ready for a crisis. Bullying and gangster-like tactics have been reported by locals in New York areas where the Muslim community patrol and services operates. These tactics are beginning to create a backlash against the self-described, quote-unquote, civilian patrol organization among local residents. The Muslim patrol gained international attention in the fall of 2018 after several of its patrol cars, which looked like New York Police Department or NYPD cars, were spotted in Brooklyn and Staten Island. A little digging shows that the Muslim community patrol has an underlying agenda to enforce Islamic Sharia law first in the Muslim community and then in American community at large. The patrol originally said its purpose was to serve as a liaison between Muslims and the NYPD. But after two consecutive mosque shootings in New Zealand last March, where a gunman live streamed his murder of 51 Muslims on Facebook, the patrol publicly altered its purpose. It now describes itself as a law enforcement organization, claiming its goal is to protect members of the local community from escalating quality of life nuances, crimes. It's precisely that law enforcement definition that is now landing the Muslim patrol into hot water with New York City residents, particularly those living in Brooklyn area of Bedford-Stuyvesant. They are bullying people and getting out their patrol cars looking like gangsters, said one resident who asked to remain anonymous. The people in Bed-Stuy don't want them there. Now, you know that Brooklyn is really a cluster of the Jewish community, and you have Muslims now that are in patrol cars, and here's what else is going on. It says the Muslim patrol originally had a force of three patrol cars when it first formed in November of 2018, but now has seven cars on the streets of New York with the intention of purchasing 23 more cars in the near future. The Muslim patrol cars are nearly identical to NYPD patrol cars. Both use Ford Tauruses and have similar decal schemes, colors, and emblems. Well, though the Muslim patrol cars do not have lights on their hoods, they do have emergency flashing lights in the front and back windshields. A lot of people can't tell them apart, said the resident. In fact, most people think they are NYPD detective cars, especially if they are driving behind you. Well, significantly, some Muslim patrol officers have been driving their patrol cars with their emergency lights in continuous flash mode, even when not responding to an emergency. They never turn them off, and people are seeing these lights and thinking they are NYPD, the resident said. The cars also have sirens, which another neighborhood resident says is being used to intimidate people. They turn on their sirens when they see non-Muslims park next to a mosque during Friday prayer services, said another resident. They get out of their cars and start humiliating these people, telling them they have to move their cars and that they can't park next to a mosque because they're not a Muslim, even though it's completely legal for them to park there, he explained. In addition, Muslim patrol officers are patrolling sidewalks near mosques and stripping people of their open containers of alcohol. Though open containers of alcohol are a city violation, an NYPD officer typically revolves it peacefully. In some cases, these Muslim patrol officers are kicking the beer out of the hands of the yanking it from them and pouring it on the streets, the second resident said. These guys aren't police officers, and they don't have the right to take someone else's property and destroy it, even if a person is committing an offense. They talk to these people like they are the police, he added. And a lot of people in the Bed-Stuy community are getting fed up with it. Some, including the Muslims in the community, are demanding a meeting with the district attorney. So both residents who spoke up, however, agreed that the NYPD still favors the services provided by Muslim patrol. The local captain, he don't care if they're enforcing Sharia law. The police see them as helping them with their jobs. Well, again, this is what's going on in Bedford-Stuyvesant, in Brooklyn, and in other countries around or cities across the country where you have people like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, Oman in different cities like Detroit and in Minnesota, where there's a lot of Islamic stuff going on. What is the point? The point is, again, we live in a time where our communities, our neighborhoods, our lives are always at the peril of a new crisis. And God is telling us through his word that we need to prepare, that we need to walk circumspectly. We need to be more exacting of what it is that God has called us to be doing. Now, let me see if my dear friend is on the line here. I think he is. I've got a friend calling in. His name is Art, and Art calls in from the Idaho area. He's a prayer warrior. He's an intercessor, and I'd like to invite him into the radio broadcast. So, Art, if you could hear me right now, I need you to press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you into the broadcast. I just want to be sure he's there. What does it mean to be an intercessor, and why is it important to pray? Well, because of the things that we see coming down the pike. We see a lot of things coming down the pike, and our lives are in constant peril of a crisis, and we need to know how to handle the crisis. So let me bring my dear friend Art Krebs into the broadcast. Good morning, Art. God bless you, sir. How are you today?
Quite well, thank you.
All right. Now, Art, you called me at 12:30 last night. I was sound asleep, but I saw it today, and I was saying, boy, I hope everything is okay, and I trust that it is. Yes?
Well, I accidentally bumped that number.
it was a pocket dial. Got it. Well, Art, talk to us. What's on your heart today? I know it's Thursday. I wanted to invite you to come and share your heart. And we're talking about the inevitability of crises that take place all the time around us and how God's people really need to be more exacting in their prayers and in their approach to these days we're living in. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, yes. He told us in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. And so that's pretty well mainstay. I teach a lot of people, hey, we need to pray about this. So we pray about things. And we see a lot of results through prayer. It's not boasting, look what we did. No, look what the Lord did when we utilized that provision he gave us, prayer. How did Paul handle his situations? He didn't duke them out. He spoke the word on them, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So, him, Jesus, all of them, they left an example for us for guidelines for us to utilize. It's just like in Ezekiel 22:30, he sought for one man to stand the gap and pray ahead. He couldn't find a one, so the whole nation perished. They were all too complacent. That's the way it is today with our religious systems and our political systems. They're sold out. Hey, we're the only one. And there's so much corruption in there, everything. A lot of churches, they just want to tickle people's ears. They want to go by numbers and how much money they make. And I could name a few by name, but I decided I'd just tell about them, what they, how they've deceived people. We got one guy, I met him in Baltimore at a conference there. And he's always telling about all these gifts people give him, watches, clothes, shoot, he'd need a barge to carry half of them. But he's always online or on the air. So that $1,000 seed, well, all you're doing is sowing it to him. Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver who gives not grudgingly or out of necessity. So for you people out there that are sowing for gain, most of you are going to be very disappointed. Because the Lord can't honor that. I'm not talking about investments. I'm talking about people telling you to give X amount of bucks here, and man, Lord's going to bless you. I had to reprimand a church that had people sign pledges, and they'd send them 3 letters a week. Don't forget your pledge. Well, they had 4 families. They had new houses, cars, toys. They had it all. They were feeding off of that church. So I sent them the stuff, and oh, they got back, they scolded me. I was totally out of line. It was back when that big tsunami in Indonesia happened, killed all them people. The Lord spoke to him one night and told him to send the whole Sunday tape to the disaster relief fund. And he was bawling, geez, that's a fourth of our income. He didn't mind putting a pledge in, a burden on the people. Because the scripture, oh, no man but to love him. And so, like I said, he didn't take the reprimand I gave him, so the Lord gave him one. Some people, well, did he do it? I said, that wasn't up to me. That was up to him. Because he never took heed when the Lord had me give him the message. Said, well, that opened some doors down there, so I don't know how much they, of it they sent. But they took in $26,000 that day. They told that boldly. A lot of people threw in extra money and stuff. But everybody tries to buy their way out of a dilemma by donations. Throw money at it. Most of these street people. Take your tent cities. Look at the tons of needles they got. They can all afford them drugs somehow. But they can't afford a... Yeah, they got cell phones too. You bet they do. Got to make their contacts, see?
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just ask you this question. I know you're going down the path of, the gospel of gain and the prosperity gospel. Paul said when he was in prison, people preached the gospel for gain. He said, and, you know, some dude out of harm to add insult to injury and all that. But he said, nevertheless, in either way, the gospel is being preached and there am I rejoice. But I want to talk a little bit about the times that we are in, the crises that could hit anybody at any time of any kind. I mean, how important is it to you? Because I know that there's kind of a debate here that we should not worry about anything. And I totally advocate a worry-free life, that we should, when we come to Christ, we should be as trusting as we were when we came out of the womb of our mothers. We did nothing. We were totally taken care of and trusting. How do you balance that out with a time where we're seeing what Jesus said in the last days? You're going to see all these events going on around the world, and that's going to be a sign to the coming persecution, the deliberate persecution against Christians. Do you feel or sense right now that we're getting closer and closer to persecution in this country, where we eventually all the prosperity gospel is not going to matter to anything, but the persecution that is coming, do you see that as a real crisis at this time? I mean, you've been around for a long time, so talk to us about that.
Yes, it's like I said, that's what I was getting on to, that most people are trying to buy their way out with stuff, see? We can't buy our salvation. We can't earn it. We do have to maintain it. It was a free gift. Like I tell people, you can't be saved by works, but you can sure be lost by them. If too many people think once saved, always saved, man, you can't lose it. Well, I tend to differ with them on that. If we're supposed to maintain our salvation, don't mean it's a free roll. We can just live like we care, you know, like we don't care. Look at Romans 1:27-8, where he took his hands off of them. Let them go to their own reprobate mind. They all became homosexuals and gays. Had people, oh, we got to love the gays and lesbians. That's not according to the book I read. Romans 16:17-18 says, mark those that cause division, offense, contrary to sound doctrine, and avoid them. Now, these things that were death penalty in Old Testament, they're still death penalty in the New. You don't lose your life like a guy picking up the sticks on the Sabbath, but it's still going to be a death penalty in the end. And he says, if the believer is scarcely saved, where does that leave the unbeliever? So that leaves us something to think about. But the Sharia law he was talking about, when you go back to the Crusades, 1095, that was 400 years after Muslim armies had already sacked two-thirds of the Christian world, see? So these are things that people need to be taught, they need to be praying about. You don't go around and get 100 different man's opinions, you ask God. You only need one opinion, that's the Lord's. So that's the main thing I'd like to instill in everybody. Don't think you can throw money at a crisis. It takes some nurturing and catering and different things. Not just throw a couple bucks at it, leave it, take care of itself. No. He tells us to preach the gospel, make disciples. That's what you're doing on your show. You're making disciples. And so we try to teach them what we can. Knowledge, we've learned things in life just to get along in life. But fear is doubt. Doubt's unbelief. And the scripture tells us your fears will come upon you. Mm-hmm. Now, working out our salvation, fear and trembling, we really should be fear shaking in our boots. There's just too many complacent. They'll be just like a nation when they got besieged because they... Look at Nineveh, they got saved, he sent them a prophet. 7 years later, what happened? They got all complacent, they didn't care about nothing. Figured they had her made, till they got destroyed again. So, same things happened with Israel, same thing will no doubt happen to us. Prayer is the only thing that will stop the things that have been prophesied on us, is prayer. One man can't do it, but I would suggest a lot of you, if you want to make that commitment to the Lord, you tell him you'll stand up, be counted. You don't run around and brag to everybody about it. You share it. But it's going to take some heavy prayer to save this nation. There's just too many socialists, which is communism in disguise. Mm-hmm. Joe Stalin said he'd take this nation without a fire in a shot. Well, he's doing a pretty good job of it. So, anyway, that's just the way it is. So,
Art, let me ask you this. I was thinking, you talk about the prayer life, the necessity of praying, and we all know that. I think everybody listening right now understands the importance of prayer. But I don't know if we understand the value of it and why it's worth the labor. When I'm reading out of Ephesians chapter 5, for example, it says, you know, rather than being drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, this is what gives the inward active life of a believer, rather than, you know, just constantly looking outward, but actually inward, developing an interaction, a relationship, a fellowship with the Spirit of God by bringing the harmony. You know, we're trying to find harmony and peace and joy outside in this world, and what we're seeing is that's not going to happen. You know, there are some things once in a while that are exciting. You know, a marriage, a new relationship, having a baby, a new job. You know, there's always that. But what God is really saying in the time when the days are evil is you've got to find it on the inside of you. You've got to find contentment and joy and peace and happiness and harmony inside of you by doing the things that he says to do, which begins by being filled with the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes. Yep. That's why I said last time, your personal relationship with the Lord is your salvation.
Yeah.
You don't have that, your salvation is questionable. Not making no judgment on anybody, you know, but
something
like
to look
said,
at.
Lord called me for intercessor New Year's 74. I shared a house of prayer over there. Oh, well, we don't title ourselves. They were very ready to knock me down instead of receiving me as one of them. No, no, I titled myself. I don't count anymore, see. I had a word for the pastor. I attended that same church for 20 years, and every week after church, I had a word for the pastor. He'd never argue with me. He knew better than that. One day the Lord told me, he says, they never received anything I gave you for them. So that goes back with the judgmental. If you're not part of their clique, you don't count. But anyway, the word was spoken to him. And each time he just, just passed it off. So I've rubbed shoulders with some pretty big people in ministry. I stayed on my own job all the time, and I was 37 years. After 25, I had 5 weeks paid vacation. I dedicated that all to the Lord. I went to conference all over the country and Israel 7 times. Last three, I lived on the West Bank 3 times per month each and prayed for ministered to Palestinians. I ministered by example, not by preaching the word to them. If I'd have knew their language, I would have had a lot better chance. I could have did that. I even been in the Israeli army as a volunteer and couldn't proselyte. So I shared the Lord with them, and I got away with that. Some of them got healed. One guy, he said, who you calling? He says, how do you do all that? I said, well, it's the Lord. It's my key. I said, well, who you calling the Lord? I said, you want to know if I believe in the Trinity? Yeah, sure do. Blah. Well, we only had 2 days left, so I was a little bold there. Finished in 2 days, spent the night Hotel Tel Aviv. In the morning, got a big scowl on his face. I says, how's your feet, Mike? He says, killing me again. Told him very, very understandable. When the Lord scolded the scribes and Pharisees in the words of Luke, he says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. They've been the hypocrites all the way through Scripture, Old and New Testament. They're out there today. And he told us to beware of them. So we got to have our eyes open, be attentive to what's going on. Some people don't watch the news. They don't care. They think they can just live in silence and everything's okay. But he told us to get out of Babylon.
Yeah. So that kind of
Babylon to me is it?
Yeah. That
but
consists with the idea.
Babylon's,
go ahead, Art.
Babylon is a religious system. It's got to be because we have became a Babylon. We went to Babylon, spoken the Bible, getting out of Babylon. That's where we've got a system taken over. Now, the Muslims want to do that. Like I said, Great Crusades, anybody can check this stuff out on the internet. Instead of going to people's ideas, they can check it out. They can find out everything I'm talking about.
Amen. So,
and everything
Art, let's,
you're talking about.
Yeah, and we're putting some stuff out there, but I want to honor the ministry that God has given you. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to open the telephone lines right now. So if one of our listeners are out there, maybe either even on YouTube in a chat room, if they have a prayer request or they have something they'd like to for you to pray, maybe it's healing, maybe it is about finances, maybe it is about relationship, whatever it is. If you're out there today and you're listening to this broadcast, I have on with me a gentleman. His name is Art. We have known each other for a long, long time. He lives up in the Coeur d'Alene area, and he is an intercessor. And he has been praying for people for a very, very long time. And Maybe you would like to receive prayer for something today. You could write me on the chat room in YouTube at the New Wine Ministry TV, or you could press one on your dial pad, and maybe you'd like to ask for prayer directly, or maybe you have a question or comment or something you'd like to share in the broadcast. We certainly want to open up the lines to whosoever will. So with that being said, the number is 818-369-0326. If you'd like to talk to Art, have a question or a prayer request. And I think that's important. You know, maybe you're just stuck in some area of your life and you need to get unstuck. Maybe you're dealing with some mental blocking and you need to get the obstacles out of the way. Let this gift, I wouldn't have Art on the program if he wasn't gifted in prayer. And so that's why, and he'll pray for anything. And that's his life. I've known this for years about Art. It's his life to pray for the body of Christ. Yes, he's aware of what's going on in this country and around the world. He understands the problems that we're having. And we got our friend Thoth, my brother Mark is who it is. It's Buenos Dias from Mexico. You've got somebody listening from Mexico here, Art. We better keep him in prayer as well. My friend Mark, he used to do radio with me as well. So again, Art, go ahead and continue on in your conversation, and I'm going to wait for anybody that has a prayer request or call it in or chat it. Let us know. Go ahead, Art.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, like I said, I'd like to get people to be more attentive in the Lord. Keep your eyes open what's going wrong, but don't be sold out or dedicate your life to a denomination or a political party. Stay in tune with the Lord. That's our salvation. These political parties have no salvation for us. We know Trump, he moved his thing over to Jerusalem, which was scriptural. A lot of people resented that because they resented him because he was going to drain the swamp. We got both parties in that swamp, so it's not just one or the other. And I followed these things doing on the news, a lot of things, and the discernment the Lord gave me. That's one thing I would really pray heavy for people is working at mill nights. I used to pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. If you got all the wisdom, knowledge in the world, but you have no discernment, you're kind of lacking there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Art, I got
to change your target. Go ahead.
I've got a prayer request coming in here, and you're going to love this story. Right after Thanksgiving, we had about 11 people here, and we went to a kind of a brunch on the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And 7 out of the 10 people that went wound up getting very sick. I was one of them. And for about 9 days, my intestines, my digestive system, I was a mess. And I was really suffering with that. And finally, one of the deacons in our church came up to me, and he looked at me and he says, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Man, I'm just struggling with this thing for 9 days." He laid hands on my stomach. Somebody else came behind, laid a hand on my shoulder. He prayed. I got totally miraculously healed from that day forward, and I thank God for it. And I'm just looking at somebody who's asking for prayer for an intestine discomfort, so I want to pray for that. And we also have another call coming in from a neighbor where you are. This is a call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. Do you have a prayer request or a comment you'd like to make to Art?
I have a prayer request. We have been we sold our home. And we are struggling trying to find a different home to live. We want to be in the right area. We also end up, we never try to get ahead of God. And so right now we have found a home that we are considering. And I guess I would like Art to pray that we make the right move to the right home.
Okay. Absolutely. That's a huge prayer request. And so, Art, we have that. So we also have someone here that was wanting for prayer for the intestine discomfort. And then one of our friends that's watching us on YouTube right now has also asked for prayer concerning direction and geographic location and employment. And so there are people that really need prayer for a lot of things. And why don't we focus on these three requests right now? And Art, if you would center in on that, number one, the intestinal discomfort from one individual, And then the prayer request for a location for the home that you just heard from South Dakota. And then for our sister who is looking for geographic location and employment. Okay, so let's put that to prayer, sir. Can we go ahead and do that?
Sure.
All right, let's pray.
Lord, we come before you for this brother that sold his home and looking for a place. We ask you, Lord, to lead him and guide him. Whether he's got realtors working for him or whatever, we ask you to lead them, guide him to the correct home and area position that he's looking for where he can serve you better. So we're going to ask for that, Lord. We're going to ask you to give him a confirmation on this, that he will be in the correct area and the price range, everything, right community, right people to associate with, that he won't be under the constant warfare that he could encounter being in the wrong area.
Yes.
So that's our prayer and petition for him, Lord. Now we're going to pray for the people with the other looking for the correct area and things. So yes. We pray for them also, Lord, that you would just lead them according to their desires of their heart. You say you'll supply them if we pray. And so that prayer is simply submission to you, Lord, when we ask. A lot of people don't get anything because they ask not. They inquire with people, but they never inquire with you, Lord. So they're going to speak that petition there, Lord, that they'll find the correct area and that you'll lead and guide them, that they know that that's where to go, not just by their own intention or somebody else's opinions, Lord. Now we want to get for the healings, Lord. For the people, those listening, those who haven't even called in, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of afflictions and this stomach disorder with all the corruptions we have in our food system, Lord, and our water, our air. It's amazing we haven't mutated, Lord. But we're going to ask you to, with the mighty sweep of your Holy Spirit and your love, that you just cover this area and this nation of people. The ones that called in, the ones that didn't, all of those, we're going to pray for the whole nation, Lord, that you'll just move your sweeping Holy Spirit across them, that they will all receive, that they'll all be blessed.
Amen.
And that they will know that it came from you.
Amen.
We take no credit for being a prayer warrior. We give that praise, honor, and glory all to you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
So we just love and praise you. We thank you. And we just ask you, fill these people with your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Yes.
It'll draw a hunger and a desire for them to follow you, that they won't follow the worldly systems, only to be advised in how to keep out of the distressful situations they could encounter by wrong leading and guiding in their own,
thank you, Lord,
their own opinions and ideas, Lord. So that's our prayer petition for all these people, Lord. Do we just lay it all on the altar at your feet? We trust it in your hands. We give you all the praise, honor, the glory.
Jesus.
And we just thank you as we got this opportunity to serve you and for your people, Lord. So that's our prayer, our petition. We love and praise you. We thank you. We do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Art, let's continue to pray. I want to pray for every individual out there where the enemy has set up some kind of a roadblock against them in some area of their life. We want to just remove every obstruction out of the way. We want to ask the Lord to go before his people today to clear out the debris and to guide them to the doors of opportunity that God wants to open. He'll open a door that no man could close. And we thank you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. And we prophesy right now to that job that is being looked after and looked for, that there will be not just a job in the realm of sweating by the brow, but a place of employment where the kingdom, where the mission field, where the work of God, where the purpose of God is involved in that one prayer request in Jesus' name for employment and location. to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. We stand in agreement in the mighty name of Yeshua, in the mighty name of Jesus, Art. We just prophesy to those open doors. We thank you for things that have been held back or things that have been blocked are now opening in the name of Jesus. We loose the stream of health and healing in the name of Jesus, well-being, and we thank you, Father, right now. Father God, we prophesy right now that those doors will open, health will come forward, healing in the intestines, healing in the body, doors of opportunity, financial blessing, because it's kingdom related, Father God, that all of the needs are met according to your riches and glory. And Art, if there's anything else you would like to pray, let's continue to pray. And if anybody else out there has a prayer request, here's someone calling in right now for prayer for protection and for God's direction. Why don't you pray for that, Art, for this person that's calling in needing protection and direction?
All right, Lord, you've heard the prayer request, so we stand the gap. We pray that hedge covering and anointing over that person or those people.
Yes.
If you just remove these stumbling blocks there that Vince talked about here in a minute and remove these stumbling blocks, Lord, and lead those people to be sincere when they come to you, that they don't hand you a dilemma, that they petition it to you, that they lay it on the altar and trust it in your hands. So we're praying for all the needs, Lord, the needs for the few that called in and for the many that didn't. We're still praying for them, Lord, because they're probably crying out their heart to you, Lord, but they don't know how, or they haven't got no intercessor. They don't have anybody to stand the gap with them. So we're praying for all of them. We just take authority over those obstructions. We bind, curse, rebuke them. We send all these curses back to where they came from. Amen. We're going to rebuke them all. We don't care where their family, generational, hereditary, been spoken against people. Their voodoo, curses, whatever. So we just send them all back to the sender and a multiplied reviling force, Lord.
That's right.
That these people don't have to be deal with it anymore, that they have a complete release and a spirit witness. So with that, Lord, again, we love and praise you. We thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, the glory. That's our petition. That's our prayer. We lay it on the altar at your feet. We trust it in your hand. And we do it all in Jesus' name, Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Art, you know, to the people that are tuned into this broadcast right now, this is for the New Wine Ministry family. I mean, the family of God that's scattered upon the earth. Those of you that are tuned in right now, what an honor and a privilege and a blessing that our dear elder, Art, would join us on the airwaves and make prayer for you, to stand in agreement with you. It is a gift. It is a gift to the body of Christ, and your faith and Art's faith in his prayer, because he's very determined when he prays. And it's not just whimsical words or fanciful thinking or hopeful thought. It's prayer. It is absolute dedicatory prayer, knowing that God is hearing these prayers right now. And so be blessed. Receive your answer. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And what an honor. There's one more request here, Art, and I've got to go in about a minute and a half. But one individual is asking for prayer for confirmation, for direction at this late hour to move and where, being led to Arkansas, Missouri, must leave to the country, also good health to continue in ministry. So we're going to pray for that individual right now, Art, that she too will be led by the Holy Spirit. She will go exactly where God wants her to go, and she'll be healthy along the way. And so just 30 seconds is what we've got left before I have to move on. Art, would you just pray and cover that in prayer?
Yes, I'll even continue after you tune us off here.
Thank you.
Lord,
thank
we
you,
come before you for this prayer request. So we ask for the confirmation for them, Lord, that they will get it from you. That any words anybody speaks to them, that you've directed them, Lord, that they will receive them.
Yes.
Let them test the spirit, though. Make sure that it's coming from you. It's not just out there, somebody's opinion.
Yes.
So we ask everybody to test the spirit, Lord. 1 John 4:1, you've instructed us to do that, Lord. So with that, we love and praise you. We ask you to give confirmation to everybody listening in here today, everybody we prayed for. That's our prayer petition, Lord. We love and praise you. Thank you, and we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Art, thank you so much. We'll be sure to bring you back on the air again. Art Krebs, God bless you, my dear friend. And ladies and gentlemen, right now we have Patricia Joy Xavier is joining us. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you today?
I am doing absolutely great, and I'm thankful for what is being done by prayer. And I also know that God is in control on every situation if we would believe that.
Amen.
He's already made his statement to us.
Yes, he has. And Patricia, yes. I'm going to turn this over to you. 30 minutes, you're going to be speaking out of your book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. There are people that are really in need of prayer and the deliverance, the continual working out of our salvation. Be blessed, dear lady. Ladies and gentlemen, Patricia Joy Xavier.
Hello, hello. It's good to hear from you again and for me to be on to relate to you. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with my husband, Vincent Xavier. And today I will be reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I do this because if you are looking for a book that provides concrete spiritual evidence of the significance of Jesus, of the ministry of casting out demons, and you've heard about such things, but you're questioning, is it possible for a Christian to really have demons? Is that what is a truth or not the truth? And if it is significant for you to know, I have written a book that I believe is helpful in this area, especially in the times in which we're in. And it is significant for the church today in general to understand and to know the depths of the warfare we are having and why, and how it relates to us personally and to those we love and to those that are of the body of Christ. He is looking for a bride without spot and wrinkle. And deliverance is a manner and way in which we can begin to do this incredible move within our own lives to be that bride and to know that it is of his heart that we do so. So in order to do this, we have to be very, very serious and hurried about our Father's business, folks. The time is short. It's getting shorter by every moment, every day. And Satan has some of our brothers and sisters in such a state of deception that they are becoming comfortable with their afflictions and in some cases don't even realize why or what it's from. God has given us such grace to overcome all things. So now that is true, deception is the action of the great move of Satan. And deception is the very thing that is being used for individuals to become comfortable with affliction. Don't become comfortable with them. Realize what they're all about, and God wants you to overcome. He wants you to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is spoken of in Scripture, and he's come to set the captives free. So now that it is true that we understand deception is at work, we also have to realize that this is Satan's greatest deception of the church today, and that is his ability to make us think that God is doing the afflicting and that it is his will to do so. And there are many who think that's life. That's the way life is. Well, that's the world's way of thinking, but should never be your way of thinking. If Satan can continue to make people believe that he is not our Lord, interested in residing within them. He will continue his plundering and pillaging of the Christian body. We have so much great compassion, you and I believe, on people, and realize that it is difficult to discern these indwelling spirits, knowing that they are liars and masters of deception. Realize this is a fact. I'm going to repeat it. They, devils, and Satan, they are liars and masters of deception. You're seeing that right now in the courtrooms of this world as impeachment works to remove President Trump. What you are seeing, body of Christ, and you have to know it, you are seeing Satan working through people that are liars, and they have become masters of deception through evil spirits. But only the gift of discernment of spirits, as the Holy Spirit has given unto you and received by that baptism of the Holy Spirit, will we be able to discern the actual indwelling spirits in individuals. But we will know that deception is at work, because that is the method in which Satan uses, not only in the church, in which he has already successfully done, that's why there's so many different denominations, but in individuals. And it is only through this recognition of a spirit that you will be able to address the devil and order him out of his hiding place in the soul of uninformed sinning Christians. Many are sinning and don't even know it, because that which is not faith is sin, according to Scripture. And they're not in faith. They're in fear and trembling in the wrong direction, not because they fear God, but because they fear for their lives, not understanding that our Lord has created such a place of protection and comfort for them that they need not be afraid. For he is their master, he is their savior, and he keeps them in the palm of his hand. But when you're uninformed, when you do not understand that you are dealing with demonic presence, your fear will intensify, especially in the times we're in. Would you agree to that? And there are definite ways of examining ourselves as to whether or not we are having problems with a spirit, with an evil spirit. And you have to understand that an evil spirit is a trespasser. And if you're in fear, not of God, but of this world and of your situations, your particular situations, if you have that spirit in you, he is a trespasser. He doesn't belong there. For he did not, God, give us a spirit of fear. You notice that our God called it a spirit. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So what's the problem, folks? What's the problem with the church? What's the problem in your church? What's the problem in your life if you operate in fear knowingly or unknowingly? And some of you are not even aware that you do. It's on such a lower level of the subconscious, and your conscious has been seared. We need to go before the Lord with anything we feel uncomfortable with. Recognize that immediately. Don't let the enemy continue working in your life without your realization. So if you feel uncomfortable about anything or with anything that you have earnestly tried to avoid doing on several occasions, but found yourself unsuccessful at that, you may be plagued by torment. You see, fear brings torment. And we would be plagued by torment if we are operating in fear, which is a spirit. And I just gave you the scripture to prove that is. So under these circumstances, you will find that this trespasser has succeeded in becoming a stumbling block in your walk with the Lord. And you will also find that you cannot get relief when you pray to the Lord about your problem. The fear continues, even though you have cried out to the Lord with all your heart, but to no avail. Something's wrong when that is the state of affairs that you may be in. Maybe you have said privately, Lord, remove this thing from me. Lord, help me to overcome this thing, whatever it is. Lord, help me to improve. Lord, I want to be better. Lord, if it be your will. And you've prayed. You've gone before the Lord. You have surrendered what you thought was your concerns. But you still find yourself not at peace. And you find yourself still in bondage and in fear. Now, if you find yourself fighting this endless battle with little or no success, that is a very good indication that a devil has invaded your will and is putting you in a state of confusion. And confusion is not of God, it's of the enemy. And so therefore you are bound. So you are now in a state of double-mindedness, because confusion is double-mindedness. Double-mindedness brings confusion. And regarding this situation in James 1, 7 through 8, it says, for let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Are you beginning to understand how the enemy will begin to operate in your life and you're not aware of it? Because even though you read these scriptures, the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed this to you. Well, he is now. So open your heart to it. I have seen so many Christians in a state of bondage seek freedom through their own understanding. They stumble, dividing the word incorrectly, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sadly enough, in their frustration, in our frustration, they seek counsel. Have you done that? And advice from uninformed pastors and Christian counselors that are not dealing with the root problem, which is spiritual warfare. Beloved, I have witnessed many Christian brothers and sisters trying to find answers alone or from uninstructed sources. So many of them have just given up, assuming that God is interested only in the so-called big things of their life, or they have walked away totally disenchanted and disillusioned, not having faith, not believing God. I know people like that as I'm speaking to you this very moment, yet they know scripture. So what is the problem? It's bondage. And it is tragic, considering that the answers are so clearly in God's word, but without the Holy Spirit revealing these things to you, you are at loss. And that these answers can bring about deliverance when taught properly by a God-appointed and God-ordained teacher of the scriptures that is endowed with the Holy Spirit. You can have all word knowledge there is of Bible, scripture, but if you have not the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to you in the depths of that word, you just have knowledge and you're puffed up. And my dear brothers and sisters, if you find yourself in bondage, and you recognize it, praise be to God. You know and have the understanding that you are bound by the spirit of Satan through the working of his devils. And this must be revealed in the times we're in, because we are in spiritual warfare, evil against good, darkness against light, and you must know the truth. The truth will set you free. So what I'm speaking to you of is the first step in becoming free. And if you have been following me on Tuesdays and Thursdays and have receive my book either on Amazon or through being in contact with me, you have already read chapter one, and we are in chapter two. So you have followed me to that point. If you have not, then I would suggest you get my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You could purchase it on Amazon, or what you could do is give me an email, send it to patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. And I will send you the book, and we will be involved in learning and teaching you, as I do myself when I preach and minister. It becomes more conclusive to me, and we all learn, and we become this army of Christ that he called us to be, to do spiritual warfare against the enemy of our soul. So what I have already mentioned to you is the first step in becoming free, knowing that your enemy is the source of your problem. And before you can be set free, you must know how and by whom you are bound. Satan's demonic hosts are the very essence of your bondage. So let me briefly summarize. If you continue to be oppressed and depressed, that's not of God. Even though you read the word, you have prayed, and seek seemingly good counsel, and you have not been relieved of bondage of this kind, you need deliverance. So let's keep in mind the words of Jesus in John 8:32, which speaks in this manner: you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that scripture. Let me say it one more time. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Gosh, that's a beautiful promise. And there's another beautiful promise in Isaiah 42:7, that he has come to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Who is he that he's speaking of? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to his body before leaving this earth, what I do, you shall do also. Even greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father and send my Holy Spirit to man. Oh, body of Christ, those that are listening, through God's ministry, we daily have seen Christians who need deliverance. You're not alone here. God has given you a way to get set free. And to get set free and stay free, that again is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Deliverance from Satan ranks second in importance to the need for people to receive the knowledge of Jesus Christ unto salvation. I say this because so often we see dear children of God who profess faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, yet they continue to live lives of slavery to sin through demonic oppression. And they're not even aware of it. How sad is that? And often they cannot believe they need deliverance because they think that devils cannot indwell Christians. They believe they're suffering merely from predestined bad habits or inherited traits. Now, while I agree that bad habits and inherited traits exist, I have learned that we can get rid of them faster and easier when we cast out the devils that are holding us in bondage to those habits and inherited traits. And if we are really honest with ourselves, and I'm certain that most of us will find areas which have plagued us over and over again, and we have not been set free, and we have been Christians for years and years and years. Many have tried to overcome these problems time and time again, but to no avail. They're still sick, emotionally, physically, mentally. The reason we have not overcome is that we have not attacked the real problem. We pray, oh God, help us. We pray, oh God, give us deliverance. We pray, oh God, make us well. He has done all. It is a completed work. It happened 2,000 years ago. But we have to execute the judgment that has been granted to us to do. There is bondage in the Christian body. And the reason it exists is that demon spirits are in control because of poor counsel. And they're even in control of poor counsel. So we have two choices to consider in obtaining freedom from demonic oppression. First, we must become knowledgeable and learn to resist the devil ourselves. Learn. Be a student of the word, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are not, it is my recommendation to you that you get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to lead and guide and direct your path. Jesus Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Ask him to baptize you, and he will, in the Holy Spirit. I'm not speaking of baptism of water. I'm speaking of baptism in the Holy Spirit, in which Jesus Christ himself has done or is given counsel to do and to receive. And a more successful method of ridding oneself of indwelling devils is to seek out a brother or sister who is knowledgeable in the area of deliverance. And if you would be desiring enough to be set free and to help others set free, please get my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, in which we have been given rights to by Jesus Christ, Yeshua, and our Heavenly Father with the release of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be knowledgeable enough to deliver others of bondage. Deliverance is the process of being emancipated from suppression and oppression by destroying force within us. It's not on the outside. Spirit is spirit. It could go anywhere it wants. And it will be in the area and realm where it can attach itself to sin. And where does sin lie? Our soul must be delivered of all sin. So the evil spirit will attach itself to the sin nature. This is absolutely the truth, what I'm telling you. Your warfare is for your soul. And deliverance is the process of being emancipated from suppression and oppression by destroying force within us. It's within you. This is possible only if we have come with a truly repentant heart to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And remember, Satan could find no sin in Jesus. We must seek after the same level of holiness, which John tells us we can in 1 John 5:18. Look it up. Look at that scripture, and you will see that you could be free, totally set free as Jesus was. If you find yourself in a position where you are trying to live the way Jesus instructed and demonstrated to us when he walked the face of the earth and had written in the Bible how it was, but you are bound and find it impossible to succeed in it, is because of a lack of knowledge. And as long as the believer walks in the natural and remains in self-inflicted bondage, there will be no match for the cunning ways of Satan. And Christian, the times we're in, you must have a way. You must present yourself holy before the Lord when he comes, and he's coming very soon for his church. This is why the devil does not want this message to go out to the Christian body at large and be put into practice. He doesn't want it. So he'll make you lazy, not desiring to read the book, to get delivered, to be set free, or to even believe it's possible that you could have an evil spirit within. So, dear folks, in Ephesians 6:10, we read, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Well, what is that? What is that mighty power within you? It's the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that it reads not our power? And most of us are trying as Christians to work and be motivated and delivered in our own power. But it is his power in us. When all consuming power of Jesus is in you, I guarantee that no power of Satan can long endure. So this is a wonderful thing to understand and know. You must put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against all of Satan's deceptive strategies and multitude of tricks. And be sure to study again and again the verses of scripture that are given to us in Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Study them until the words become a part of you. As your armor is to a warrior in combat, because, beloved, you are in a real life and death combat, and you need that armor for protection. So many Christians are trying to outsmart the devil in their own natural minds, though their physical strength can't do it. They are trying to stop the advances of Satan. Beloved, there is not enough strength in the natural mind to stop Satan. The only way to stop him is through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, through the supernatural, through the authority of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to be speaking more and more of that in the days ahead. Tuesday, I will be back with you. God bless you. You are loved. I care about you. I desire to see you free. It is my greatest desire to set you free. Jesus Christ said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater things. Let's learn. Let's become wise. And let's understand the authority and the power we have been granted to do spiritual warfare and to be set free of the works of the evil one and walk in our high place. God bless you again. You are loved. I will see you Tuesday, if God wills.